Ya no quiero verlo.
Bueno, como última ponencia, ya cierre de las sesiones y del coloquio Frontera de Agua, hablará Christian Hendricks de la Simon Fraser University de Canadá con la ponencia How Dock Workers Green the Port Sustainability in Victoria's Waterfront. So you're going to bring your own laptop? Okay. Perfect.
I don't know. How do I start this?
Yes.
Five shows?
Yes, you start here. you can use that one.
Okay. So this is entitled How Dock Workers Green the Port Sustainability Measures in Victoria's Waterfront. It is in English. I'm sorry if you don't understand English. I haven't understood much, so welcome. This is a collaborative work between Flavia Nico Vasconcelos at the City Port Observatory in the Universidad de Vila Vela. She also has students helping with the research, including Lucas Poltonieri Langen, who's helped with a lot of the writing, so I wanted to recognize them as well. When looking at ports today, it's very easy to see labor as an abstract economic factor which can be adjusted arbitrarily to maximize profit. Or the people that work in the ports are seen as apart from their work, as citizens of the communities around them at risk for exposure to harmful emissions. Dock workers, however, are at the front line of the port. They're both employees and citizens. They feel the negative effects of the global exchange of goods and commodities, but simultaneously rely on this transfer of goods for their continued livelihood and sustenance. They hold a unique position to impact change in their workplace, changes which will in turn impact their communities. Through embracing or rejecting new thoughts, practices, and technologies, dock workers directly affect the implementation of sustainability practices within the port, that is, the greening of the port. The greening of the port is a relatively new focus and comes in response to overwhelming evidence that the maritime industry is a major cause of climate-changing pollution. This focus on the greening of practices is not unique to ports. The world is becoming increasingly aware of the need to use greener energy methods. Within the maritime industry, this pressure has evidenced itself in four key areas: air pollution, greenhouse gas emissions, coastline damage, and terminal activities. Perhaps the most explored aspect of sustainability as it ties to maritime transportation is that of air quality. A direct link has been drawn between the emissions which arise from the smokestacks of shipping vessels and the levels of contaminants measured in the air near the seaports where the vessels berth. Compounds which have been identified as harmful emissions due to port-related activities include nitrous oxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide and dioxide, greenhouse gases, particulate matter, and volatile organic compounds. Since 70% of all shipping-related emissions occur within 400 kilometers of a coastline, the human effects are quite detrimental, with shipping-related emissions resulting in 60,000 premature deaths annually. In addition to the pollution along coastlines, physical damage to the coastline takes place in the form of soil degradation due to construction, dredging, and other shipping-related practices. These damages, along with the rising sea levels attributed to climate change, are particularly concerning to port communities due to their locational dependence on these same coastlines. Terminal activities have shifted with the advent of containerization. The arrival of preloaded containers at the port has resulted in the relocation of warehousing and transloading facilities beyond the boundaries of the port. This has caused a functional shift in the role of the port so that the position as a gateway has strengthened, with seaports acting as logistics hubs from which the dispersion of goods to the hinterlands occurs. These goods, which can include hazardous materials, must be handled in an environmentally friendly manner to avoid ground contamination both from within the port and during transfer to their final destination. Additional threats can arise from the use of trucks, locomotives, and off-road handling equipment. Responses to these imminent threats range from altering dockside practices to the greening of vessels themselves. On a local scale, the Port of Victoria has created land use plans which seek to reduce visual and air pollution connected to the transportation of oil. For example, one method through which they achieve this is with the establishment of oil handling processes to prevent spillage and soil pollution. It is important to note that whereas the implementation of containerization led to universality in the methods of conducting work across ports, sustainability measures themselves have not been universally adopted. Thus, while the Port of Victoria is focusing efforts on minimizing oil contamination, the same may not be true of a port in another part of the world or the country. Similarly, the adoption of one measure by the Port of Victoria does not indicate the likelihood of another measure being adopted. Whereas measures seem complementary, there is no guarantee of uniform acceptance. Vessels, on the other hand, move through the world, and thus the modifications they make affect all of their ports of call. Ports benefit from engine modifications, scrubber installations, fuel system conversions to liquid natural gas, and even a reduction in emissions through vessel experimentation with energy capture technologies such as wing sails, which seek to capture and store wind energy while at sea. These scales can be drawn together through cooperative ventures, such as the provision of shoreside power. This initiative gives vessels access to power produced on land, thus enabling a complete elimination of auxiliary engine use while at berth. While some of these changes are voluntarily undertaken by shipping companies with responsible environmental initiatives built into their business plans, others are responding to incentive programs offered by ports where they may see reduced fees in exchange for providing proof of implementing these changes. Maritime firms, both vessels and ports, have begun adopting sustainability as a method of gaining a competitive edge, particularly in a post-2008 recession era, where the shift away from the fixity of traditional ports towards the flexibility of intermodal containerized ports was securely established but failed to avoid the effects of the recession. There is the emphasis on the need to be green. A green port is one that seeks to implement sustainable practices and procedures. Global supply chains and their associated spatial and functional dynamics have evolved during their struggle to rebound from these economic lulls, seeking any available competitive edge. Efficiency, increased competition, minimized bureaucracy and public investment, advanced management skills, and reskilling the organization, all while gaining labor efficiencies, have been sought universally as opposed to the site-specific greening practices. While the economic benefits of the greening the firm are due in part to the social pressures put into place by consumers, this pressure is highly localized, resulting in an uneven patchwork of development. In some areas, concerned citizens may group together to respond to specific concerns. For example, in Victoria, a watchdog group demanding visual access to the water arose, which resulted in structural changes to the port that increased the visibility lines between the pedestrian and cyclist lanes and the waterfront. These citizens, who are also consumers, have joined together with concerned citizens worldwide in expressing different concerns, demanding a response to the global warming crisis with a call for more sustainable products and product delivery, essentially exercising human agency. Localized pressures and responses have led to a set of outcomes shared across all ports, which are increasingly centered on improving labor efficiency. The simultaneous lack of consistency in practices undoubtedly indicates inconsistencies which exist across workspaces. These inconsistencies are exacerbated by the mainstream environmental movement, which perpetuates a divide between labor and environmental struggles. Issues of work, class, and economic power are ignored in the pursuit of a political focus which prioritizes preserving nature over the social connections of laborers. Regardless of their interests, anxieties, cultural self-understandings, or a total inability to separate completed work from its accompanying environmental damage, these people often go overlooked. And this is grievous in that sustainability practices must be implemented if they are to be successful. It is the individuals who are directly responsible for carrying out the implementation of these practices. Inasmuch as human agency is a driver behind the global consumer push for green products and delivery, it also plays a role in waterfront work. The agency of each individual drives them to make choices each day, choices such as whether or not to come to work, whether or not to apply the knowledge one has acquired, or more importantly, to the study, whether or not to follow a new procedure meant to green the port or not. It has been shown that the urban nature of ports lends to an agglomeration of specialized knowledge and skilled labor where workers can use this agency to respond to their environment. Victoria is in an area which achieves an urban agglomeration of skill and knowledge surrounding waterfront work. Located on the Brazilian coast 500 kilometers north of Rio de Janeiro, the history of Vitória dates back to 1551 when it was founded on a small island in the bay at the mouth of Rio Santa Maria. The port of Vitória is situated in the city's historic physical and economic center, known as Central, and occupies an urban area along the bay. In addition to the presence of residents, a significant volume of vehicles commute between its neighboring municipalities, passing the state government headquarters at Palacio and Chiesa, lending local importance to this area. Vitória is one of the hottest cities in the state of Espírito Santo due to the large cluster of buildings, surrounding mountains, and high level of pollution, and it is generally 2 degrees warmer than average for the state. Despite the local and political significance of Vitória as the capital of the Espírito Santo state, the presence of its port complex receives little relative value. a lack of public policies recognizing and protecting the merit of the port as an important cultural asset to the city have led to the diminishment of its historical impact. Rather than embracing the heritage of the port, it is viewed in public policy as simply a gateway for the movement of goods and merchandise, an isolated space of economic transactions. In failing to address the historic and cultural importance of the port's development in favor of an economic focus, these policies overlook the complex, symbiotic, and interdependent relationships which occur between the city and the port. These relationships hold great importance as foundation of an interconnectedness between the port and the regions around it, where influence moves between the region and the port. The process of flow attraction and management, which in this influence exists as part of a dynamic, interrelated process with a myriad of actors working together. While a great deal of interest has been generated around this flow, particularly from an economic focus, there is inadequate attention to the human components of the port. This oversight of dock workers fails to recognize the role the labor force plays on the waterfront on a daily basis. As living, breathing persons operating within the space of the dock, the presence of dock workers on the waterfront ensures that the culture and community continue to exist, regardless of recognition granted by policymakers. Historically, dock work is a difficult task which involves high levels of manual labor carried out by teams of laborers and foremen. The advent of containerization, along with advances of technology, altered this dramatically. As containerization grew, dock workers saw their roles change. Unlike bulk cargoes, which require specific equipment, for loading and unloading, containerized cargoes can be handled universally. Standardized containers measured in 20-foot equivalent units are handled in the same manner, whether being transported by train, truck, or vessel. This uniformity in handling is owed in large part due to a universal locking pin, which ultimately enabled shippers to bypass former proximity restraints they faced in the delivery of their products. Goods have become discretionary cargo, which can be handled at nearly any port worldwide, provided they have the required infrastructure. Dock work in Brazil is a craft heritage, with skills passed from father to son. Most dock workers are related to other dock workers, and as such, there are strong familial ties between workers. The transmission of these skills creates workers whose identities are strongly tied both personally and professionally to the port, in part through the nostalgia that passes between generations. Nostalgia, which takes the form of an idealized attachment to the past, shapes one's understanding of their surroundings. Collective memories combine to establish an identity which is shared by members of the group, and this also applies to the dock workers at the Port of Vitória. A history of fighting for labor rights has resulted in nostalgic unification among dock workers. This unification was renewed in 2013 in response to a modernization law which hoped to increase efficiencies and drive competition in Brazilian ports. The new Ports Act further requires that all dock workers be distributed through Orgel Gestor de Mão de Obra, OGMA. This body, charged with labor administration among dock workers, obliged workers to enroll in training to raise their education standards and produce new efficiencies. This modernization process, while focused on economic productivity, had cultural effects on dockside work, as OGMA replaced families in choosing the waterfront workforce. Previous family connections, which would ensure that jobs were available to hardworking family members, were replaced with a public contest system in which the port workers could be hired by OGMA regardless of any prior intergenerational knowledge transfer. The effects of changes like these are not restricted to Brazil, rather are found worldwide. Peter Hall identifies similar alterations in the United States, noting increasingly diverse workplace with a growing ethnic variation, female workers, and increasing education levels. While this modernization process has altered the major characteristic of waterfront work, a negative side effect has been that the passion for labor at the waterfront was fully overstepped by a sense of duty and a common job routine shared by any other professional. The strong sense of pride which flowed through families was replaced by an obligation to complete one's task. The union has continued to play an important role as a place for facilitation of discussion and the fight for the rights of workers. In Vitória, there are 12 dock workers and maritime-related unions, which are represented by an entity called the Intersindical Portuária. As identities connected to the port shift away from the personal towards professional only, the dock workers spend less time engaged in community and building activities with their co-workers. OGMA further mandates this separation in its regulations around when a worker can be on the dock, effectively scaling their environment in the port. The union, however, provides a locus for dock workers to maintain their sense of community, providing a physical and mental space in which dock workers can share their thoughts, interests, and perpetuate port culture. Their independence and solidarity provided by the union remains an important part of the unique port culture. Widely prevalent conditions of dock work produce a universal port culture, a subculture within a culture. Dock workers provide, dock workers worldwide, but more specifically across Brazil, share common concerns which unite them. As a gateway, the port allows not only for the exchange of goods, but also for changing morals, values, and ideas as they are transported globally and shared among the people that work in the maritime industry. While the port plays a key role in the development of intercultural relations and the transmission of cultural ideals, as the front line of these interactions are dock workers. Common concerns which unite dock workers include the casual nature of employment on the waterfront, the exceptionally arduous work along its accompanying dangers, the replacement of what was once a widely variable work towards the standardization of containerized work, a lack of a stratified hierarchy among workers and a further lack of regular association with the employer, continuous interaction and contact with foreign seamen and their ideas, as well as of the foreign goods, and also the shared belief that their standing in social hierarchies is that of a low status group. The similarities of these conditions across Brazilian ports facilitate empathy and connections between dock workers in various locations across the country. In contrast to the global scale through which transmission of culture and ideas is accepted as occurring, and despite the fact that concerns are shared by dock workers across Brazil, these workers operate on a much smaller scale, namely that of the individual and the workplace scale within teams of employees. Local cultures are formed out of the interactions and camaraderie which occurs between the dock workers and their daily tasks, while simultaneously forming business relationships and friendships. At this scale, the value of relationships between employees becomes apparent, where social environments create and transmit meaning to the individual. These cultures differentiate employees from an economic factors, as is demonstrated by Lefebvre when he looks at how the landscape of work is impacted by social and biological needs of the worker, differentiating workers from capital expenditures. This difference is, however, often overlooked, as the business world suggests that port labor is the weak link in the connectedness of port effectiveness and efficiency, and that laborers have a responsibility to continually improve on their productivity to assist in achieving desired economic results. In doing so, workers are diminished to an economic unit to be exploited. And this emphasizes, although unintentionally, the importance of the scale of the individual and the workforce within the port. At the individual level, workers have the ability to think and make personal choices about how and what work they will do. They bring with them ideas, thoughts, emotions, and political ideologies that shape the work they do, as well as the interactions they have with the people and things around them. The nuances of the individual scale play a key role in the execution of work, and study at this scale is critical to gaining an overall understanding of the impact of workers. Viewing workers as docile bodies or abstract economic factors suggests that workplace is an ever-shifting space of surveillance, creativity, and potential. This shifting concept of space is particularly relevant in the context of environmental changes which we see occurring in modern ports as they strive to green their practices. Mirroring the role that dock workers play through their unions in embracing the adoption of containerization and shaping the geographies of the port, it seems like dock workers will prove to be integral to the successful greening of the port. In this manner, a full understanding of the direct connections between dock workers and sustainability needs to be embraced in order to embrace port greening, particularly if we are able to distinguish between greenwashing and greening. The difference between greenwashing and greening has important impacts on the work carried out on the waterfront. The former gives lip service to the idea of introducing sustainable practice while not actually requiring change. As there is no real change, the work carried out by dock workers is unaffected as the practices and procedures they follow are not altered. On the other hand, the latter entails policy and procedural changes which must be implemented on the ground. The greatest challenge in successfully implementing changes is found in empowering the workers. The achievement of enduring performance improvements requires the buy-in of employees. As the successful greening of the port requires successful implementation of these policies, enduring improvements must likewise be embraced by the workers who will carry out these new practices as part of their daily work. If the implementation of new environmental policies is met with a lack of understanding, their widespread adoption will be prevented. It is then essential to understand how dock workers disseminate and absorb new information, and also the culture in which they operate, how this influences the likelihood that they will buy into new waterfront practices. A case study in the Port of Vitória provides evidence of this need for buy-in of labor on the waterfront and for the importance of the individual in the successful implementation of initiatives. A national law speaks to waste management, oil storage, and hazardous and noxious substance handling. And in response to it, the Port Authority, Compañía de Gas del Espíritu Santo, Soresa, established manuals and guidelines for procedures in the area with detailed instructions on managing the risks of oil pollution. However, application of these guidelines is inconsistent. Machinery maintenance, specifically, runs high risk of soil contamination due to a lack of uniformity in applying best practices in the maintenance of rolling machinery. Further inspection by the Instituto Estadual de Medio Ambiente, IEMA, the autonomous body responsible for implementing state policies at Espíritu Santo, showed similar findings. State policy was in place and supported by companies' policies, procedures, and best practices, but without consistent application of these best practices by employees working on the docks, the desired results could not be achieved. In the Port of Vitoria, as well as other Brazilian ports, there is insufficient support to enforce these rules. The IEMA, while directly responsible for monitoring the Port of Vitoria's environment, operates primarily through the granting of environmental license. Each time an environmental permit is renewed, the IEMA will theoretically enforce the progressively environmental stance support management. Reports submitted by the IEMA, however, show that there are many shortcomings in implementing environmental compliance, and there's a lack of passion towards environmental issues from those in positions of leadership on the waterfront. This suggests yet again that we find the individual or small team to be the scale in which sustainability measures are either successfully implemented or not. This implementation or lack thereof will continue to impact the city and port for years to come. While Vitoria has a rich cultural heritage, it also has a history of extensive landfills which have encroached over onto the water's edge, suppressing mangrove habitats and polluting rocky shores and beaches and altering local wildlife patterns. Dredging practices have altered the hydrology of the river mouth, affecting the sediment dynamic, changing the estuarine system. With no physical area in which ships can empty ballast water, nor any method of treating this water, there are concerns that foreign species will be introduced into the bay, potentially introducing changes which could forever alter the balance of the bay. Without the implementation of practices to address these concerns, the trajectory of the bay will not improve, and Vitoria will continue to feel the negative externalities of the shipping industry. And just some final considerations. Dock workers play a fundamental role in shaping the waterfront. Personal agency affords these workers to have the ability to individually impact the effectiveness of local and state powers through applying or rejecting best practices. Viewing workers through an economic abstract devoid of cultural influences strips dock workers of this agency within economic theorizing, however, cannot guarantee the same results on the ground. The successful greening of the port, that is, the successful implementation of environmental policies which can reduce or repair environmental damage, requires an understanding of the motivators that drive buy-in of these policies on a small scale. It is when port culture adapts to embrace these policies as valuable to dock workers' livelihoods that we will see the adoption of green practices on the port docks.